Well, good Monday afternoon, and welcome once again to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. Excuse me. In the studio with me today, we have Tyler Butler, who was here last week, a naturalist at Terradice Nature Center. But he's also brought a friend along. He brought along Dr. Blake Mathis, who is an owl biologist. Good to have you both here.
Thank you.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
And Dr. Mathis, Blake, what do you prefer to be called?
Blake is fine.
Okay, I'll call you Blake then. First of all, you were talking about an organization that you're part of, COOP. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So COOP stands for the Central Ohio Owl Project, and my basic idea behind it is to try to figure out how many owls we actually have wintering in here in Central Ohio. Owls are a really popular and well-known group of birds, but they're also really good at hiding and staying out of the way. So if you're not looking for them, you probably don't find them. Because of that, I think we might be missing a lot of the owls that are around, and so I'd like to get a better idea of how many of them are actually present here in Central Ohio in the winter.
Okay. And you're with Ohio Dominican, or you graduated?
I'm an associate professor at Ohio Dominican University.
Okay. And what exactly does an owl biologist do? I know that you count owls, which you just... But what else do you do?
So, counting owls is certainly a part of it. One of the other aspects of the project is to look at diet analysis. So owls have that interesting habit of regurgitating parts of their prey that they can't digest, producing these owl pellets, which are mainly made up of hair and bone. And so I'm collecting those pellets to try to then be able to go through those and figure out what are these owls eating? What sort of prey do they prefer? Give us an insight into that owl dietary preferences.
Okay. Are there about how many species of owls are in the Central Ohio area? And tell us about some of those.
Sure. So we have 8 species of owls that occur in Ohio every year. The most common ones are the barred owl, great horned owl, and eastern screech owl. And those are likely to be found pretty much anywhere where there's woods. Additionally, we have snowy owls, which visit Ohio every winter, but in relatively small numbers, and are relatively likely to be seen during the day. So there's currently a snowy owl at the dam at Alum Creek Park, and a lot of people have gone to see it. Hundreds of people have seen that now. Another species we have is the short-eared owl, which is another owl that's likely to be out during the day, so are relatively easy to find. The 3 that I'm most interested in for the project are the long-eared owl, northern saw-whet owl, and barn owl, which tend to be almost entirely nocturnal, tend to be harder to find, tend to choose places to roost during the day that are almost impossible to locate the owl unless you look very, very carefully. Mm-hmm. And so those are the species that I'm really interested in kind of nailing down how many of them are present.
Okay. And all species of owls are nocturnal. Is that correct?
Mostly correct. There's a few species that will be during the day. Snowy owls, at least when they come down into Ohio, tend to be pretty active during the day. There's a species we don't have in Ohio, the burrowing owl, which tends to be active during the day. But the ones we have here in Ohio will be out mostly at night.
Okay. And owls, what do they eat?
Most of them eat almost exclusively small mammals. So various species of rodents like voles and mice. They will eat just about anything, though. Small birds, crayfish, other species like fish. It's kind of surprising to think about an owl dropping down into the water to grab a fish, mm-hmm. but apparently they do it relatively often.
Okay. Why is it important that we try to preserve these species? What do owls do for us? You know, what's their place in the ecosystem, I guess I'm asking?
So one of the biggest things that they do for us as humans is they control the small mammal populations. The owls are out there every night eating, if you added it up, millions of small mammals over the course of the year here in Ohio. And those are the small mammals that are doing things like eating crops and causing damages in homes. And so having an owl around is definitely something that most farmers and most homeowners would want to have.
Mm-hmm. Let's say that somebody wants to encourage the owls to come roost in their barn or building. What steps can they take to do that? I mean, build owl houses of some sort, or what?
Yeah, the easiest thing to do would be to put up nest boxes. So barn owls especially will use boxes. If you have an old barn, putting a box in the barn will encourage those barn owls to nest there. And in fact, the barn owl population in Ohio has increased because the Ohio Department of Natural Resources Division of Wildlife was actively encouraging those nest box placements. And so we've greatly increased the number of our barn owls because of those boxes. Screech owls will also use nest boxes, relatively easy to put up, nail them up on the side of a tree. Really good chance you'll have a screech owl find it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Blake, is there a good place to find the dimensions for those boxes?
Yes. But I don't know what it is. Certainly, an internet search will give you lots of plans for those. Or you can buy them. My wife a few years ago bought me a barn owl box and a screech owl box.
Excellent. Yeah. That's, I wouldn't expect to put up like a bluebird box and then have an owl roosting in that, right?
Right.
So birds are sometimes very particular about, the size of the hole and the size of the box itself and whether or not they'll roost in it. So finding plans that fit the owl you're seeking are beneficial.
Absolutely. The one thing I have heard is that screech owls will pretty regularly use wood duck boxes. Apparently the size of the hole for a wood duck and a screech owl are almost the same.
Oh, okay. Okay. So if somebody wants to do their own owl search or owl count, how would you suggest they do that? And could you use those numbers of individuals who are out counting owls for you?
Absolutely. So that's one of the parts of the project is I'm trying to get as many people as possible to go out and look for owls, and when they find them, to report them to the project. So just a Google search of the Central Ohio Owl Project will bring up the page where you can submit sightings. If you're interested in looking for owls, any woodlot will probably have owls. The areas that I'm doing most of my searching now are evergreen trees. Evergreen trees tend to be nice cover because they retain their needles all year. And so those are places where if you just kind of walk through, there's a good chance there's probably an owl in there somewhere. When I'm looking for owls, I'm usually looking for the pellets. And if I find an area with a few owl pellets on the ground, I'll then start looking up above there to try to see if there's an owl sitting there asleep during the course of the day.
What got you so interested in owls? Where's that interest come from?
When I was younger, I used to hate birds. I was really only interested in mammals and thought birds were kind of disappointing and boring. And when I first started looking at birds was in my junior year of college. And one of the things that my friends and I started doing was looking for owls. And it was just really exciting to go into a woodlot and all of a sudden realize there's a group of owls, perched in a tree. And I think that kind of excitement and interest has stayed with me. I've also noticed that the number of owls that I see reported is relatively low, that the places where people who pay attention to birds are talking about owls and reporting owls, there's just not very many reported. And so I thought there really have to be a lot more out there than we realize. And so that kind of excitement of finding out what we're missing has really got me interested in owls.
Okay. Do you have an interest in other species other than owls, or do you pretty much just focus on the owls?
A lot of my previous research was done on birds that have been introduced to tropical islands. So I spent a lot of time doing research in places like Hawaii and Bermuda and Puerto Rico, which was a lot of fun and very interesting. However, of course, in Central Ohio, we're pretty low on tropical islands.
Yes,
and so I needed a sort of a new research angle that was a little more accessible.
Yeah, Blake, so what... just for a moment step back and just think about owls in Ohio and owls wintering in Ohio, and what makes an owl so adapted? What sorts of characteristics do they have that make them so capable of living through Ohio winters?
Well, one of the things that's always impressed me about owls is for lack of a better word, how fluffy they are. They have these incredibly soft feathers that provide this insulation, because you can imagine as you're an owl sitting there in the tree, you're experiencing all the extremes of weather, incredibly cold temperatures and wind, and they're able to survive that without really being cold. They also have that amazing ability to find food, for some species, entirely by sound, that just by using their ears, they're able to pinpoint the exact location of a mouse walking around or a vole underneath the snow, and then break through that snow crust and grab that small mammal. that ability to hunt in complete darkness, I think, is something that has always impressed me and makes me sort of envious of those abilities that owls have.
Now, you had said something about the their hearing, and that's how they do some of their hunting, is with sound. Those little tufts that are on top of their head are not actually ears, right? The ears are actually on the sides of their head.
That's right, yeah. The various species of owls that have those horns or ear tufts, they probably use them for things like camouflage to make them look more like a broken-off stick sitting in a tree. They can use them to express kind of emotion. You can watch an owl and see if they put those ear tufts up or down. Might tell you a little bit what they're thinking. But really, their ears are on the sides of their head. And for some of our species, the ears are asymmetrically placed. So one ear is higher than the other, which gives them that ability to pinpoint that sound that small mammal is making in the vertical plane.
Now, are there many predators of the owl?
A lot of the predators of the owls are other owls. When I was in college, one of my jobs was actually to dissect owl pellets to help one of the professors there. And one day I was taking apart a great horned owl pellet, and in it found the talons of a saw-whet owl, our smallest owl. And so certainly the smaller owls have to worry about the larger owls. Great horned owls will eat almost anything, and so that's one of their main concerns.
And they're mostly interested in dry conditions, not necessarily swampy areas, so on.
It depends on the owl. Our barred owls, one of our most common owls, they tend to be near waterways. Swamps are a good place to find a barred owl.
Okay.
Great. Now, I've always heard, especially when teaching kids about owls or talking with kids about owls, it always comes up every single time, is that, did you know an owl can turn its head all the way around?
Yeah, I've heard that too. Owls are able to turn their head close to a full circle, maybe around 270 degrees, but they certainly can't turn their head through a full circle. One of the reasons that owls and most birds have that flexibility is they have more vertebrae in their neck than we do. And so they have that ability, that extra flexibility, to turn their head a great distance, but not through full 360 degrees.
I would presume that it's not legal to hunt or to shoot an owl in the state of Ohio anyhow. I see no reason that anybody would, but...
That's right, yeah. So owls, like all of our native birds, are protected by various federal laws. Unfortunately, some do get shot, especially people who have, for example, have chickens and are worried about owls taking their chickens. I've already received a couple reports this winter of people who've had things like a great horned owl getting caught in the chicken wire trying to get into their chicken coop. And so there is some of that persecution that happens because people are concerned about their livestock.
Certainly.
So we keep talking about owls and their fantastic hearing. But I don't think, other than the calls, I don't think I've ever heard an owl. You know, I've never heard an owl move. Even as big a bird as they are, you think about a smaller bird like a duck. You know, when the duck starts flapping its wings, it's very obvious you can hear that. Is there a reason why you can't hear owls flying or flapping their wings?
Yes, owls have a lot of adaptations. The soft feathers is one that you don't hear the wind going through those feathers. But they actually have some specialized feathers on the leading edge of their wings that have all these little filaments. They almost look like little combs on the leading edge of the wing so that you can't hear that wing cutting through the air. So like you mentioned, if you think about a duck taking off, you'll hear those wing beats. With an owl, it's entirely silent. Meaning that when they're trying to hunt that small mammal, that mouse does not hear them coming. That they're able to drop down on that mouse with the mouse having absolutely no warning. They are incredible flyers, and that ability to be silent is one of the things that makes them so successful at hunting those small mammals.
Okay, we'll come back to you in a minute, Tyler. Last week we talked about the Christmas tree reclamation.
Yeah. Yep.
And how's that going?
So we're collecting holiday trees, old retired holiday trees, right? Live ones, or what used to be an alive tree, that you may have celebrated, the last part of December with here. We're collecting those both at Terradice and at the Mount Gilead State Park in partnership. So we are going to do a tree sink on January 23rd, I believe it is. It's one of the last Saturdays in January. So we're going to sink about 100 trees in the lake, and that is going to provide vital game fish, sport fish habitat in the lake itself, and hopefully just kind of revitalize the fishing inside of Mount Gilead Lake there. So we're pretty excited about that. On December 28th, I think is when I counted the trees, we had at Teradice, we had 84, and that was only 48 hours after asking for trees. So that was pretty amazing. So the community really, really stepped up there for conservation, and that was just, that blew us away. But like I said, we've got drop-off points both at Teradice. I know we've gotten a few more trees at our site since, and we've got a drop-off location at the State Park, Mount Gilead State Park, next to their maintenance building off of 95. There's signage out there. Look for the signage that says holiday tree drop-off, and then follow it around to the maintenance building, and you'll see a pile of trees out there as well. There's probably 10 or 12 trees out there right now, too, so it's going well. I would call it, at this point, a success. Our goal was 100 trees, and we are, if not already there, well on our way. So, and it's okay. Even if we get to 100 trees, we're still going to accept. We'll just use the extra trees as brush habitat or something like that.
Okay. Now, Blake, you had done a program at Teradice recently, haven't you? Or was that just online? I can't remember.
Yes, that was an online program. I gave a presentation about the OWL project about a month ago, I guess.
Yeah, it was December 10th. Yeah, we had planned originally to have Blake come out and do the program on site.
Right.
But with COVID restrictions and everything else, we decided online was probably best.
Yeah. Yeah, Teradice isn't really big, so it'd be kind of hard to socially distance everybody there. I can see that'd be a problem.
we've got enough acreage that we could make it happen, but December 10th, it was a little chilly, too. It would have been great, though, on the other, just across the river, we had our good friend Lola Pryor. She's a fantastic photographer in the area. A great wildlife photographer, great with birds. She captured, I think, maybe a week after our talk, a barred owl just across the river. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any thoughts of maybe doing that when the weather's nicer, maybe doing an outside program?
Sure, we're open to just about anything over at Teradice. So, you know, perhaps maybe as 2021 progresses here and we get kind of closer to, you know, next winter, we could have maybe like a mock owl prowl, I guess.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. That's one of my goals with the project, is just to make sure people realize that these owls are around. And so have that opportunity to get out there and look for owls and kind of learn what to look for would be great.
Yeah, I think something that would be really nice for community members to just to know, you know, what trees or what cavities or you know, what areas to look at as far as where owls might be. So
now, they have bird feeders for most kinds of birds. It'd be kind of difficult to have a bird feeder for owls, I'm sure. And if you did, what would you put in it?
I guess you just put mice, I guess.
I guess. That's what I was thinking. I was kind of wondering about that.
So we're pretty close to brooding season for a lot of owls, aren't we?
That's right. Yeah. In fact, great horned owls have already started nesting. And they start nesting early in the winter, and then we'll be having those offspring hatching here in the next month or so in a lot of places. And so there is that opportunity to see those young little fluffy owls. They're called branchers early on. They first leave the nest, and they'll be walking along the branches. It's pretty entertaining to see them. They're pretty ungainly and a little cumbersome as they're still trying to figure out their way in the world, but very cute.
Now, how long do the young owls stay in the nest? I guess it depends on the species, but
yeah, it'll be a few weeks for most species, but then by the end of the summer, and probably by the middle of summer for the great horned owl, they'll be out living their own life away from their parents. It's one of the interesting things about most species of birds is once they leave the nest, they may be fed for a few weeks by the parents, but then they're on their own. And our species of owls that migrate, those young owls are migrating by themselves without any help from their parents. There's a genetic instinctual desire to move south through places they've never been before and find someplace safe to spend the winter.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. What does a clutch look like, or what number of eggs are we looking at per nest?
For most species, you're probably going to be looking at 3 or 4 offspring in the nest. If it's a really good year, apparently this year up north was a really good year for saw-whet owls. The places that catch owls have been reporting much larger numbers than usual. And so in that case, you might have those parents trying to feed more offspring than usual because they have that more food to bring back. And so certainly the prey availability is going to be a big determinant of how well they do each year, how many offspring they can successfully raise.
Now, what is a group of owls called?
Let me start by saying, I think all these various names for groups of animals are kind of silly, because there's a lot of them, but the name for a group of owls is a parliament.
Okay.
Very official. Well, very wise. You know,
a group of crows, of course, is a...
A murder.
A murder.
Right.
Ooh, it's funny you bring that up. Is there a relationship with crows and owls?
Crows do not like owls. That's actually one of the ways that you can find owls is if you listen for things like crows or blue jays or even chickadees being upset, that's often an indication that there's some predator in the area. That's one of the best ways to find owls is to find those smaller birds making a lot of sound, so they're scolding upset calls. And that will sometimes at least lead you to an owl. A few years ago, I was on our farm in Union County, and I heard the various birds really upset. And I ended up finding a screech owl sitting on a branch, and right next to it was a blue jay just screaming as loudly as it possibly could. I never would have found the owl otherwise. It was sitting out in the open on a branch, but they're so well camouflaged that without those smaller birds pointing the direction, there's no way I ever would have seen it.
And there are a few color morphs with the screech owls.
Yeah, screech owls come primarily in a gray morph and a red morph. There's also a real rare brown morph. Apparently, there's some correlation between the color of the owl and how well they survive in certain weather conditions.
Really?
But here in Ohio, we have both color morphs. In my experience, the gray is usually a little more common, but the red is not uncommon. The brown is a little less common, though.
Is that just in Ohio, or is that across the board?
That's, I think, in most places. Okay. They're mainly found in the eastern United States. Most owls don't come in those different color morphs, but screech owls are one that do.
All right. Things going okay over there at Teradice?
Yeah, things are going great over at Teradice. Well, we're currently underwater.
Who isn't?
Yeah, of course. We got a lot of precipitation and a lot of melt in the past couple well, really the last week here, so the river's really picked up a lot of water, and along the way it's dumping it out of Teradice. And like I said, I was just telling you a little bit ago, my first bird of the year was a great blue heron, and it was out kind of stalking around, see if I couldn't find any fish in the newly watered Teradice. So I'm not sure if he was successful or not. We kind of surprised each other, so he took off, and I kind of went the other direction.
Now, the heron is kind of a large bird with spindly legs, long legs.
Yeah, so the great blue heron is, I think it's the largest heron species in North America, with maybe, I think it's the Goliath heron being a larger species, but that's not found on our continent. I think it's Africa, Asia is where you'd find that bird. But yeah, it's a really, really tall bird, about 54 inches in height. Really, really beautiful gray, bluish tint to it. It's got a long, pointy bill on the end, which it spears fish and frogs and everything else. So another great, great bird predator.
I'll also mention, as long as we're talking about large birds, that lately in central Ohio, we've been seeing a lot of sandhill cranes migrating over. I had about 200 come over my house a few days ago. That definitely keep an eye out. They make an amazing sound. If you hear an unusual bugling sound that I can't possibly make, take a look up, and there's a good chance that there are some sandhill cranes flying over.
They're fantastic. Yeah, I saw some last year at Gleason Park over in Morrow County. Yeah, so one of those 5 fantastic park district parks out there. So,
do either one of you do any owl calls?
Ooh, I almost brought the hoot flute. I almost brought the hoot flute, but I didn't.
I do not. I do not, unfortunately.
Oh, come on. Give it a try.
So actually, the easiest one to do, and if I could whistle, I could do it, is the saw-whet owl. A saw-whet is our smallest owl, and they make a sound that's basically just a short whistle every few seconds. It's almost like kind of a slow backup beeper.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and then I think probably recognizable would be the barred owl call, the "Who cooks for you?" Call, which I've always heard that barred owls, you could butcher the barred owl call, and occasionally you'll get a response from them.
Yeah, they will respond to just about anything. In fact, just loud sounds. Sometimes in the middle of the day, if there's a gunshot, you can hear a barred owl in response. They are very vocal and are often likely to call in the middle of the day. They're a very distinctive sound.
Yeah. Will they move in on that sound?
That's a good question. I've never had them come in to investigate, but certainly responding.
That's interesting.
Now, you, of course, mostly focus on the Central Ohio area. Can you tell us anything about some other owls that maybe we don't have in our area?
Well, I think one of the everybody's favorite owls is the elf owl. The elf owl is the world's smallest owl. They are about the size of a cardinal, to give you some idea of how small they are. Mm-hmm. They're just a very, very small bird. They're down in the southwest United States, going to be eating mainly things like insects, so a lot different than what we think of as owls around here, mainly focusing on mice. One of my favorite owls is the northern hawk owl, which is a sort of a cross almost between a hawk and an owl. It kind of looks like a falcon. It's actually an owl, but has a tendency to be active during the day and is scared of nothing. If you see a hawk owl, you can walk right up to the tree they're on, and they'll just kind of look down at you. And I've always thought they kind of had that look in their eye like they're trying to figure out how to kill you. That they they know that you could be eaten if they could figure it out, and they're not big enough to do it, but they want to figure out a way to do so.
Well, so if it's a hawk owl and it kind of looks like a falcon, what sorts of characteristics are you looking for in that bird that lets you know this is an owl species as opposed to anything else?
Most of our owls have the facial disc. So if you look at the front of an owl, they kind of have a ring around the face, which its function is to concentrate the sound so that when the sound's coming in, it's sort of almost functioning like a parabolic microphone, taking that sound and channeling it into the ear so they can pick up those very small specific sounds. So a northern hawk owl has a bit of that facial disc. It has a longer tail like a hawk or a falcon, but is going to be out during the day and hunting less like an owl than we would normally think about. It's kind of one of my probably impossible dreams that somebody will find a northern hawk owl and report it to the project at some point here in Ohio this year. But probably unlikely, but if you find one, make sure I find out about it.
Now, are there owls in other parts of the world other than just here in North America?
There are owls worldwide. In fact, a species we have here in Ohio, the barn owl, is found on all continents except Antarctica. Mm-hmm. So there are owls are a worldwide phenomenon, and barn owls are basically almost identical anywhere you find them in the world. They're really an interesting species. They make a terrible sound, which I guess I can kind of make. It's kind of a...
Okay.
And got the name barn owl because they tend to be in buildings and old barns and silos, anything, place they can kind of find that sort of shelter. But will also be found in trees and so forth.
I've heard some people refer to them as phantom owls. Is there a reason for that?
Probably.
Could be the sound.
The sound they make, they do tend to be in old abandoned buildings, so you can kind of see how if you saw this white owl and heard that screaming sound, you might think place was haunted.
Like, white kind of ghostly face on them. Yeah, so, huh.
So do owls have very good night vision?
They do have good night vision. They have large eyes. They have forward-facing eyes, which means that they have the ability to see that depth, to know how far away things are. But for many of the species, they really are concentrating on their hearing, that it's more important than the vision. They don't have bad eyesight, similar to bats. Bats also are active at night. They have good eyesight, but the sound is going to be more important for them.
But, of course, bats aren't birds.
No, that's right. Bats are not birds.
But I see how you got there. So, Tyler, have you seen many owls around the Teridice area?
So around Teridice, probably the most popular owl that we would have. And, of course, it's a very lowland area, so we've got a lot of sitting water out there. Mm-hmm. So we've got barred owls for sure. We've got a sycamore tree out there. If anybody's interested, I can show you exactly where it's at. There's no owls roosting in there right now, pretty sure. But like I said, you know, we're definitely positive that there's a barred owl out there, photographic evidence, so that's pretty neat. And when there's one barred owl, there's probably a second barred owl, you know. Other than that, I've not seen or heard evidence of any other types of owl. I know that we were talking about the Christmas bird count last time I was on, last week. And I know James Anderson with Marion Parks District, he picked up two screech owls at 4:30 in the morning. Of course, I'm not sure where he was. I think he was on the Tallgrass Trail when he picked up those owls. So, and of course, we were over at Big Island last week, and we saw just countless short-eared owls. They're all over the place out there. And a great daytime owl, like Blake was saying. So if you go out there, you're pretty likely to see one.
That's another aspect of my research, actually. I'm interested in those short-eared owls because while they're really common here in the winter, there are a few that will breed here in the state of Ohio. And so I'd be interested to find out if there are more of them around breeding in Ohio than we realize at places like Big Island or Killdeer Plains wildlife areas. And so certainly if anybody sees short-eared owls in the summer, I'd be very interested to hear about that.
Yeah, I presume they get their name because their ears are shorter than other owls.
Yeah, the short-eared owl and long-eared owl are two species we have here in Ohio, and they're closely related and very similar. And the long-eared owls have long ear tufts, and the short-eared owls have very short ear tufts. So short, in fact, you're probably not going to notice them unless you see them very closely.
Tyler, you started to ask something there.
Oh, I absolutely forgot what that question was. So our smallest owl in Ohio is the saw-whet, right?
The saw-whet owl is the smallest. It's a species that may breed a little bit here in Ohio, but is very common in Ohio during migration. There's a group of people, including me, who catch and band saw-whet owls during their fall migration. And this year, over 500 saw-whet owls were caught in the state. They must be found almost everywhere, but they're just so good at hiding that it's very difficult to find them during the day. To catch them, we end up playing their sound, which will lure them in, and they kind of are curious about it, apparently, and are trying to figure out what's going on, and eventually then will fly into a net. And that is by realizing that, we've been able to discover that saw-whet owls are a very common migrant in Ohio, even though we hardly ever see them.
When does that migration take place?
Where or when?
When.
It starts middle of October and will go through around the middle of December. The peak is in the last week of October, first few weeks of November. They apparently are migrating over almost everywhere. Our farm in Union County, we don't have any great saw-whet owl habitat, but by playing the sound, I was able to lure them in and catch saw-whet owls. Just as they're apparently flying over, they hear the sound and come down to investigate. Huh.
And where are they heading to?
Some will stay here in Ohio in winter. I started searching for saw-whet owls, and the first place that I went, I found three of them, which was pretty surprising to me, and it was a good find. And so there will be certainly a lot of saw-whet owls here in Ohio, but then they will go also down even as far as some of the southern states.
And are you going to see something like a saw-whet owl, something small like that, or even a screech owl, I guess? Are you going to see those in the same level of kind of the forest as you would a larger owl like a barred owl or a great horned owl?
It's interesting. Saw-whet owls have a reputation for roosting relatively low, often at eye level or below. Many of the ones I've seen over the years have been at those sorts of levels, although recently the ones that I found have been much higher up, 25, 30 feet up in the trees. So they can kind of show up anywhere. Saw-whets do have a reputation for being kind of fearless, that probably they've never seen a person before. And so if you do find one roosting, often they will just sit there and look at you. Huh. But you can walk right up to them.
What do they make their nest out of? Straw, little twigs, what?
So it turns out that no owls actually build their own nests.
Oh.
They will either steal nests from things like crows or hawks. Long-eared owls, for example, will run hawks out of their nests and take over. Saw-whet owls are cavity nesters, so they'll be nesting in holes in trees, taking over things like woodpecker holes, things that have been maybe apparently northern flickers. When they build their holes, those are the size that saw-whet owls like.
Now, when they're depositing the pellets, do they deposit them right out of the nest, or do they kind of take off from the nest a little bit and deposit them in a not so obvious spot?
I think they will be near the nest. Most of the pellets that I've been found that I've found have been with wintering owls. Wintering owls will often tend to use the same perch day after day after day, and so it's often the case that you'll have 20 or 30 pellets have built up underneath a single perch. That they'll like that specific roost, and they'll come there day after day after day. In fact, a few years ago, we had the pleasure of having a long-eared owl stopped at our farm for 4 days during migration, and it used the exact same perch every day, and ended up with this group of 15 or 20 of the owl pellets that it produced.
Really? That is really, that's interesting. So I know some of the songbirds, or some of the residential birds we have in Ohio, smaller residential birds that we have in Ohio, they'll do things in the winter, like enlarge the size of their hearts and kick up their metabolism just so they can survive. Do we find any evidence of owls doing similar kind of physiological change?
Yes, I think all birds make those changes. Certainly one of the things is that during molt, they'll increase the number of down feathers to increase their insulation, put on more fat, maybe reduce the amount of blood flow to the extremities to reduce heat loss. Owls are just so well insulated that I have this quick story, and it's a little bit maybe disgusting, but not too bad.
Let's hear it.
So one of the things that I have done over the years is prepared birds as museum specimens, where you basically do sort of taxidermy to produce this museum specimen. So you have the dead bird then they can teach from and so forth. And I was stuffing a great horned owl a few years ago, but I forgot to take it out of the freezer early enough. And so I took it out of the freezer first thing in the morning when I realized I'd made the mistake, so that it could thaw out. Well, about 8-9 hours later, when I went to try to actually start working on it and start to take the skin off, it was still frozen almost completely solid. Oh. After 9 hours out at room temperature, it's so well insulated that basically no heat had gotten in to melt anything.
Wow.
So they're well insulated.
That's incredible.
Now, I presume they have hollow bones like most
they do. They have the hollow bones. One of the things that I'm always really impressed with is the talons. I have a specimen of a great horned owl with the sort of X-shaped talons. They're incredibly sharp, and you can just kind of imagine what's happening as an owl drops down on a mouse, that those talons are closing around it and has no chance of escape. Most owls are going to be eating their prey whole, so once that mouse is caught, they'll just be taking it and swallowing the entire thing. The exception to that would be the saw-whet owls. They're so small that they often can't eat the entire animal at one sitting. And so that can be another clue that there's a saw-whet owl around. If you ever see the back half of a mouse laying on a branch, there's probably a pretty good chance the saw-whet has caught it and eaten as much as it can at the moment.
Huh. Now, with owls' feet, are owls like an osprey that have the zygodactyl toe arrangement, or do they have the raptorial three toes in front like an eagle?
Yeah, they have the two in front, two in the back, the zygodactyl. They're able to move one of the toes a little, so they have a little bit of flexibility. I was actually reading recently a book on tracking birds, which I never really thought too much about. But owls, if they're walking around on the ground, will leave a kind of a K-shaped track, I've never found one, but I've been on the lookout now to try to hope to find where an owl's been walking around, maybe trying to catch those crayfish on the edge of the creek or something.
Yeah, yeah. That would be a cool find. I don't know if I would be able to recognize what it was.
I hope I will now, but we'll have to see.
Well, excellent. Hey, if people are going out and observing owls, where should they go to make those reports?
So the Central Ohio Owl Project, I have a webpage on Ohio Dominican's website. Easiest way to find it is just do an internet search for Central Ohio Owl Project. It should be the first thing that comes up. My contact information is on there also. So if you have any questions about owls, about where to look, about what to report. As I mentioned, I'm also collecting pellets. So if you find some owl pellets on your property, I'd love to get those from you. I'm also interested in other places to look for owls. So if you should happen to know of, let's say, a nice stand of evergreen trees on your property or somewhere close to you, and you'd be interested in letting me know about that and maybe give me permission to come out. I've started checking properties the last week or so, just going out, spending a few hours walking around looking for owls, trying to find as many of those owls as possible. So any of those sorts of things, just find that Central Ohio Owl Project webpage. Let me know about it, because this is what I'm doing this winter is looking for owls.
Yeah.
So if they have questions about owls, they can go to that webpage as well.
Yeah, my contact
and leave a message.
Contact information's on there. Feel free to send me an email.
And if you're looking for owls, make sure you get permission from property owners before you enter any property.
Yes, absolutely, yes. I've been sending out lots of letters to property owners asking for permission, places I've just kind of seen driving around saying, hey, look at that. That looks like it'd be a good place for owls. And I've been successful so far at finding those owls, so I'm hoping to do more of that.
When you go out, do you have any recommendations? Do you wear Hunter Orange when you go out, or do you?
It's certainly a good idea to probably talk to the property owner. You know, if there is hunting anywhere close to that land, it'd be a good idea. There's no time of the day that's better or worse. The owls tend to be there all day, so anytime you have a few minutes just to walk around, even if you just have a spruce tree or two in your yard, go ahead and check them. Sawbed owls especially often roost in small trees, so there's probably no evergreen tree that's not worth checking.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'll also mention if for any farmers, if you have an old barn, any outbuildings, old silos, barn owls really like those sorts of places. You'll often see a pile of pellets if you have a barn owl, but I'm really interested in getting a lot of barn owl reports because I think that there are a lot of them around that we're just not hearing about. I think there's a lot of farmers who know, hey, I've got an owl out in the barn. Hopefully it's eating some rats, so I'm not too worried about it, but I definitely want to hear about those.
No, I'm glad to hear about encouraging owls to come in and check out properties. Are there any other sorts of activities you could do, like brush pile habitats or things like clearing underbrush or something like, would that encourage owls?
Yeah, the biggest thing that owls really need is the food to eat. So certainly any grassy areas, I know sometimes it doesn't look pretty, but you know, if you have a extra field, let it grow up in some grass for a year or two. Those sorts of places are where those, especially things like meadow vole populations, really increase, and that's what the owls are really looking for. And certainly planting evergreen trees, giving them a place to roost. Evergreen trees provide great windbreaks, stay green all year, they're nice and pretty, and also owls really like to be there.
Excellent. Yeah, and we are doing, at Teradice, we're doing a wood duck box building and installation in March. And Blake just told us that screech owls will nest in those wood duck boxes. So if you're interested in a wood duck box, get a hold of us and we'll work something out in March. So no cost. We're doing this for free. So
here's a question. Now it has nothing to do with birds. This show's pretty much gone to the birds today, but that's not a bad thing. Woolly bears. How do you two feel about the theory that the longer the orange part, the more mild the winter will be?
I guess I'm not even sure what the theory is. So that's kind of my position on it.
I've heard this, and I've also heard that it probably does not have any validity, unfortunately.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm glad, because I've seen some of them that have very little orange. It's almost completely black this past year. So
I did find a leopard moth larvae underneath some leaves over the weekend. So that was pretty exciting.
A what?
A leopard moth.
Oh, a leopard moth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So that was pretty exciting. It was a cool find, but I made sure to put them back. So.
Well, sure. Sure. What other things are you finding underneath the leaves out there?
Oh, my goodness. What are you not finding underneath the leaves out at Teradice? We're covered in them right now. We just encourage everybody, leave the leaves, right? Everything's just kind of taking shelter underneath those in the fall and throughout the winter. You know, a lot of insect species. Rodents, snakes, amphibians, they're using those leaves as shelter to get from one place to another, including natal ponds, you know, in the fall and in the spring. So leaving those leaves on the ground is pretty vital.
One of my favorite things that I've learned as a biologist is that red bats will actually hibernate in the leaf litter on the ground. Yeah. So in the leaves there could just be a bat just waiting for spring.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Cool.
And that's great. Encourage bats. Definitely. My brother got me a bat house for Christmas, and that was my favorite gift. So.
Of course, Batman had the bat cave, so, you know, that's... I guess you can have a bat house. Well, Blake, thanks for being here. We'll have to have you back again maybe sometime in the fall. And Tyler, you're always welcome.
Absolutely.
So be listening again next Monday afternoon to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH.